once it starts coming together, then you start seeing something happening. And
you've done the prototypes, but you're now starting to do maybe the scale prototype with the wood, and all of a sudden you realize that it's not going to work the way you thought it would. Is that ever occurred, or is that the mistakes that you were referring to way back when?
Well, I just recently had an issue where when I did the drawing, because it's not in three dimensions, when you get the piece in three dimensions, the way I wanted to bring a couple of the pieces together, it wasn't going to work the way I wanted it to. So there are times where you have to step back and say, okay, wait a minute, I've got a little issue here. I've got to figure this out. That happens really all the time. Yeah. There's always issues that come up with the wood itself. Mm-hmm. Having issues when you cut into it, it could be bad on the inside, or insects, or that have eaten it away on the inside that you didn't see on the outside. So that's rare, but it does happen.
All right, we only have a minute or two left, so let's get the people the information about where to find you, because I was lucky enough to find you by talking to April. But where? How would we learn about you, and where can we see your pieces or get more information about your business?
Sure. I have my portfolio online at schlackfurniture.com. Mm-hmm. That's S-C-H-L-A-C-K. Mm-hmm. And search for Schlack Furniture Design will get you there as well.
Okay. You were featured in that article on Tim Andrews. Any other features that you've come across or that you're aware of?
Not yet. I've been hiding in my studio, locked in it, building furniture, so I haven't really had time.
You need a marketing guy.
Yeah.
And what are your future plans? I know you've been doing it for 20 years.
Sure.
What are your visions? What have you woken up out of bed and said, I want to bend Australian something or other furniture?
I'm trying to make a name for myself. I don't want to just be another furniture maker.
Uh-huh.
The future, hopefully, I can help really take furniture and have it looked at as art, which unfortunately it's not looked upon as art as much as glass blowing or painting is, since furniture performs a function. It's not really looked upon that way. So
right. Well, I've looked at your furniture, and I can tell you, if you do get your name out there, you will achieve. It's really fascinating, folks. I highly recommend that you look up his website, schlackfurniture.com. It takes you by surprise how unique, you just can't give one classification, one word to it. It's very unique work, and it is, as we've talked about here, art as well as design and function. So I highly recommend that you give it a look-see, and I wish you the best, man. It's awesome. I hope you make a name for yourself, because it's very, very unique stuff that you're doing for the last 20 years.
Thanks so much, Chris. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom, and good luck to you in April. All right. I got to get out of here. Turns out that the Prez is not coming in, but Richard G. is. So be on the lookout for Tune In 100 In with the Richard G. Before I go, though, remember what my good friend Vincent Arnolino said from the Amberjack 5, never say I should have, and that means today that you should go and look up schlackfurniture.com and check out those unique pieces, because they are a wonder. I'll be on tomorrow again, 8 o'clock. This is Big C signing off on Good Morning Hunting and huntingchamberradio.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump announced on Thursday that Sarah Huckabee Sanders will be leaving her post as White House press secretary at the end of the month. The president said in a tweet that Huckabee Sanders would be heading back to Arkansas, and he does hope she runs for governor. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is blaming Iran for the attacks on tankers in the Gulf of Oman. Speaking at the State Department on Thursday, Pompeo says Iran's actions are a clear threat to international peace and security. Secretary of State Pompeo also accused Iran of ratcheting up tensions in the volatile Middle East.
These unprovoked attacks present a clear threat to international peace and security and an unacceptable campaign of escalating tension by Iran.
A final look at your numbers on Wall Street. The Dow was up 102 points to close at 26,107. The NASDAQ gained 44. The S&P gained 12 points to close at 28,92. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Captain Obvious, and every day thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like a picture of Kyle pretending to put his fingers on top of another national monument, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Kyle, it's that you hate that he's there, and you are sitting in a bathroom stall at work. Don't hate like Kyle's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome to our program, Sharing the Hope, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Radio. My name is Jennifer Denlinger and my co-host, Rocky Schwartz. Good afternoon.
Hi, Jennifer.
We are family support coordinators at Prevention Resources, an agency based in Flemington, New Jersey, since 1971. Rocky and I work in the Family Support Center and provide support to anyone in Hunterdon, Somerset, or Mercer counties who has a loved one with a substance use disorder. We meet with family members one-on-one, in person, or via phone, email, or text, and all our services are free. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be back right back with our guest.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to our program, Sharing the Hope. This is Rocky Schwartz. I'm co-hosting with Jennifer Denlinger today. Just as a reminder, our show is weekly on Thursdays from 5 to 6 o'clock. We broadcast live on Facebook, and the shows will be posted so you can listen at your convenience. Follow our Facebook page called Sharing the Hope, and we welcome your comments and suggestions for future guests and topics. And I am so excited today to have one of my sheroes on, Marielle Huffnagel. Marielle battled with addiction, bipolar, and bulimia throughout her teenage years, leaving her bankrupt emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Marielle entered abstinence-based recovery in 2007 at the age of 21. Once homeless, formerly incarcerated, a convicted felon, and a sex trafficking survivor, Marielle embodies transformation and uses her experience to share hope and smash stigma. I love that. She is recognized as a dynamic and passionate advocate, servant leader, and motivational speaker. Since 2012, guided by an unwavering dedication to what she believes is her life's calling, Marielle has immersed herself into addiction, mental health, and criminal justice work in an effort to demand the civil rights of anyone who has ever suffered from a substance use and or mental health disorder, and bring a beautiful face and voice to recovery. With 6 years in recovery, Marielle returned to a local community college, unsure if she was smart enough and afraid she would fail. Only 5 years later, she graduated summa cum laude with distinction, 4.0 GPA, from Kane University with a Master of Arts in Public Administration. Currently, Marielle serves as Executive Director for the Ammon Foundation, which provides scholarships for individuals in recovery to pursue an education. Prior to Ammon, she worked as an advocacy organizer with the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, and as the National Chapter Manager for Young People in Recovery. Welcome, Marielle.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you so much for coming today.
So, can we start at, you got into recovery when you were 21 years old. What led you into recovery at that age?
Sure. So, so first off, I think it's really important, and I always share that I got sober that young, because I think for a lot of people, especially young people, we look at it in one of two ways. One, we either look at it, oh, it's just a phase, and, like, it's going to pass, right? Or two, we look at it as, like, people don't enter recovery until they're, like, way old, right? And that's obviously not my experience, and I wish that I'd heard that message when I was young. Mm-hmm. I don't wish that anything was different, because I believe that every, you know, moment was exactly what it needed to be to get me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. But when I do think about if a couple of things could or should have been different, right, I wish that I had known that people got well, mm-hmm. right, and that they could get well at any age, because that just wasn't on my radar. And so I just always wish that that message had been clearer, and which is why I take it so seriously, that I need to make sure that that message is clear. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what led me to recovery at 21, to answer your question, Rocky, is, you know, by the time I was 20, I was really on death's doorstep. Mm-hmm. You know, my addiction had just absolutely ravaged my life and had taken me to places and turned me into a person that I didn't want to be. And for me, it really was about life or death. And that may seem dramatic, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It was really about life or death. And even though I was so young, it was like, do you want to see your 25th birthday, right? If you do, then things have to change dramatically.
I was also 21 when I got sober, and I hear you. And the whole thing about thinking of going through a phase, everybody that was a part of my life then is gone. So when the opportunity presents itself, what a gift to be able to accept it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So was your, you know, we talk a lot of, you know, we talk a lot with families, and we provide family support. Can you share at all about how was your family, and were they supportive of you when you were getting into recovery?
Sure. So my mom has played such an integral role in me getting treatment and me getting help and in me staying well. She's always been my largest advocate and my biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. You know, at a very young age, way before I entered recovery, I just think it's important to share when talking about my mom. You know, at the first sign of trouble, my mom was terribly, terribly proactive, right? So, you know, at the age of like 8, 9, 10, I was already being brought to doctors and put on different medications, and there was all sorts of interventions, you know, at the first sign of trouble, which I think is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And although none of them quite took, right, I think all of them, maybe not all of them, but many of them planted a seed, right, and began to shift my perception a little bit, or at least allowed me to recognize that help was available, even if I was unwilling to accept it yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's all really important. I also think towards the end of my active addiction, you know, my mom, she really showed up in a way that I can't even imagine. I'm not a parent. I don't have children. But I do believe that you can only be as happy as your saddest child. You know, she just did extraordinary things. Never, you know, and sometimes I don't know if she realized the extent of what she was doing, or even perhaps the danger that she was putting herself in. But things like, you know, coming to the dope house and, like, pulling me out with my ear and, like, calling the drug dealers and threatening them. You know, like, she just, no matter what she had to do to save her kid, and that's how she explains it. Like, I don't think she knew, like, the gravity of everything, right? But it was, you know, no matter what she had to do to save her kid, she did. And then the last thing that I think is really important to say is that, like, I won't say that she never yelled at me, or that we never fought, or that, you know, because that would absolutely be untrue. But there was the anger and the, you know, shaming or whatever that is, was always way counterbalanced with an outpouring of love, which, you know, we live forwards and we understand backwards. But for me, I understand that that made her a consistent, safe place, mm. right? And this lifeline that was, you know, reaffirming and allowed for me to kind of know that, like, home was always this, like, beacon of safety and security, which I didn't have in my active addiction. And so that was really, really important as well. And then her role in my life since I've been in recovery has been, you know, varying, right? You know, and it's, you know, it's evolved as I've stayed well, you know, but again, always kind of going back to always coming from a place of love, always coming from a place of support, you know, and that's changed, not only as I've stayed well, but also as I've, you know, gotten older, right? So a relationship with your mom when you're 21 is different than a relationship with your mom when you're 33. Yeah.
Your mom sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that is love.
It is love.
Mother's love. And she never gave up hope. And that's why we call our show Sharing the Hope. So I want to get a little more current, because you just have such a powerful story. So you have been acknowledged on a local level, state level, local, and nationally with many different awards and featured in countless media outlets. One of the big things that I know that, look at you, you're almost blushing, is that you were in the commercials that Governor Christie did to try to show a new face of recovery. How did that happen? And you were amazing, by the way.
I remember those commercials.
I don't really know how it happened. You know, someone connected somebody and somebody, and I was like in a commercial around the holidays, or right around Thanksgiving, that was like not a speaking role, or it was a very small speaking role. It was like I said, like, I am in recovery, or hope is available, or something like that. And was just thrilled to do that. And then a couple weeks later, someone on the governor's staff emailed me and asked me if I would be, they said they had like read my story somewhere and asked me if I would be interested or willing in doing a more intimate commercial. And that's, you know, which is like, that's such a perfect like recap of just what my life has been. Like none of the jobs I've gotten have I looked for, have I asked for. None of, you know, all of, you know, it's kind of just been like, I just show up and, you know, am my authentic self and work hard at whatever I'm doing in that moment. And all of these incredible opportunities have kind of just shown up at my doorstep.
Well, you have an amazing work ethic, and you always say yes. And I, you know, even if it's terrifying, probably. Probably you had to be a little out of your comfort zone to be on commercials. But I think it, you did an amazing job of showing this is what recovery looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I'm so tired of seeing pictures of needles and people on the street. Like, we need to talk more and more about
that. Really was a very hopeful series of commercials at that time. I felt very profound.
Yeah.
Now, there's another big award coming up. I'd love for you to share with us about it. Jennifer happens to be a big fan of that organization. And it's happening in a couple days, right, in Washington, D.C.?
It is. So every year, Faces and Voices of Recovery, which is like the, you know, premier, like, OG recovery advocacy organization, does, I think it's their annual honoring recovery in America. I totally might have butchered that name. No, it's their annual America Honors Recovery Gala. And they give a couple of awards away. I think they give five away every year. I don't know all of the categories, but really it's all kind of focused on people and organizations who have in one way or another impacted the recovery community, people in recovery, and sort of the way recovery is looked at. And so I'm getting one of their awards.
Getting one of their awards.
That's completely awesome. And the way they change how people look at addiction and recovery is in sharing stories.
Absolutely. Right. And isn't that the way you change the way people look or feel about anything?
Right. Put a face on something and make yourself vulnerable and be your authentic self. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Congratulations. That's completely awesome.
Yeah, congratulations.
Awesome.
Thank you, ladies.
Take another commercial break, probably.
Okay, we'll take a break right now. Be right back.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Sharing the Hope. I'm Jennifer Denlinger, and my co-host today is Rocky Schwartz, and our guest is Mariel Hoffnagel. We also have family support groups that meet four times a month in Flemington and Somerville. Our Flemington family group meets the third and first Wednesday evening of each month, and our Somerville family group meets the second and fourth Friday evening of each month. All family members of loved ones struggling with a substance use disorder are welcome to attend. We're speaking with Mariel Hoffnagel from the Ammon Foundation. Welcome.
And we're back.
Again.
I do want to just do a couple more commercials just for what we're doing at Prevention Resources. We had a naloxone training last night that Rutgers provided, and they do such a phenomenal job. So we have another training coming up July 10th, and you get two free Narcan. You get a kit with two doses of Narcan, and you get training. And we also have one on August 6th. We will have that information on our Facebook page. And also, this is a big deal. June 18th, next week. What day of the week is that? Do you know? Anyway.
June 18th.
Is it a Tuesday?
Is a Tuesday.
A Tuesday. June 18th, all day at participating pharmacies in New Jersey, you can get free naloxone. You don't have to provide your name. There's no payment, no insurance required. Here in Hunterdon County, Redding Ridge Pharmacy on 8 Redding Road in Flemington is our local pharmacy that's providing it. And there are also locations in Warren County, Washington, Phillipsburg. There's also several locations in Somerset County.
I think we have that on our Facebook page, right, Rocky? People can find the info there.
But I would encourage everyone to take advantage of that opportunity. It is expensive. So back to Mariel, talking about your award with Faces and Voices in Recovery. I'm sure you have a fabulous dress, too. I'm fortunate I get to run into Mariel at all kinds of events and galas. She's everywhere. You truly are the face of recovery, and beautiful face of that. So when I first met you, you were working as an advocacy organizer for NCAD, National Council on Alcohol and Drug Dependence in New Jersey. Can you tell us what an advocacy organizer does?
Sure. So I don't know what an advocacy organizer does at other organizations. but in New Jersey, what we have is really pretty unique. And I have to give credit to my predecessor and my mentor, Aaron Kucharski, who started the program. But NCADD has what they call their Advocacy Leadership Program. And what it does is it allows for people to regionally be organized and people really being as broad as people can be. So a lot of those individuals are people who are directly impacted by addiction, whether people who are in recovery or have family members who are in recovery suffering from addiction or perhaps, unfortunately, have lost someone they love to addiction. But also people just broadly could mean the pharmacist down the street, you know, a clinician, anybody, right? And so people are organized regionally to get on the same page and to really be a voice for addiction being treated as a public health issue. And change happens from the bottom up. I'm a huge believer in that. And so what NCADD does is it empowers individuals to be able to come together, and we've really been able to create a constituency of consequence around addiction as a public health issue. And that looks like all different things. It looks like putting on events in your local area. It looks like, you know, advocacy at the state level around legislation. It looks like just talking to community decision makers about addiction as a public health issue. And we've worked on everything from, you know, harm reduction initiatives through, you know, the Good Sam Bill, through naloxone training and distribution, to, you know, talks about safe injection sites and syringe access, to things like educating parents, educating communities, school education. So there's really not one way that that it looks. And my role specifically was really just to give the advocates the tools to be successful, right? I didn't do much, right? It was behind the scenes, empowering people so that their voices and their stories could be heard. And it's been really cool to have even a small hand in that, because, so I've lived in New Jersey since 2013, and in the last, you know, 6 years, we still have a long way to go, but I've seen the narrative begin to change. I've seen things that were not even an afterthought, were so off the radar 6 years ago, starting to happen.
Can you give us an example?
Sure.
Of what you're thinking about?
So, and this is just a small example, mm-hmm. but it was recently. I was recently asked to be the keynote speaker at an event that was completely not addiction related in any capacity. It was bringing a group of professionals together that were working on estate planning, right? Mm-hmm. And it was their annual luncheon. And to be the speaker at that luncheon to talk about addiction just means that addiction is beginning to be so mainstreamed, right? That, you know, groups of people that are seemingly unaffected or uninterested, right, in addiction are starting to realize that addiction infiltrates every family,
right,
every community, no matter, you know, irregardless of anything.
So normalizing the conversation in different
Absolutely.
Populations. Yeah, so
Absolutely.
Important.
As well as, we've had some huge legislative wins, right? The Good Sam Bill.
You mentioned that before. Can you tell our listeners what the Good Sam Bill is?
Sure. So the Good Samaritan Bill has two folds, right? And the first fold is that if two people are using drugs together and one person ends up in duress, having an accidental overdose or hurting themselves, that the other drug user can call 911 and not be penalized, which is really important for people to know about because it's a great concept. But if drug users don't know that they will have immunity if they call the police, mm-hmm. Then the bill is lost, right?
Does that apply to alcohol as well?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, alcohol or drugs, mm-hmm. it applies to anyone who decides to call the cops because someone's life is in danger,
mm-hmm.
Which really just brings the concept of, like, a life is more important
Correct,
than
right.
arresting somebody for an alcohol or drug-related
mm-hmm.
charge.
I don't think we can talk about the Good Sam Bill enough.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the second part was naloxone expansion. And Rocky just talked about Narcan a little bit. But, you know, Narcan was inaccessible for most people up until the Good Sam Bill was passed, right? And so now EMTs carry it. Now family members can have it. You can get a prescription. And so it triggered this, you know, series of trainings, education, and awareness around naloxone, which really expanded it all throughout the state.
And till next week, where we have a day where everyone in New Jersey can go get free naloxone. I mean, go figure. It's amazing.
And I don't mean to put you on the spot, Rocky, but do you know who's sponsoring that? How did that come to be?
I believe the Attorney General I'm not certain, but I think it was the New Jersey Attorney General.
It's pretty amazing.
And you just reminded me, we do have an advocacy group here in Hunterdon, which you led for a while. And our next meeting is July 10th, 6 o'clock.
Is everybody welcome? Is it an open
meeting?
Everyone
is welcome. And what our group is currently working on is working with the faith leaders in our community to help smash the stigma, as you would say.
I was just reading an article earlier today, and the tagline was, "You can believe in Jesus and go to therapy." And I just thought that was, one, I thought it was really catchy, but two, I thought it was really important. Because I think so often our faith leaders are really the first responders in the addiction crisis. Because when people are in crisis, they go to their faith, you know, their faith community. And so I think arming our faith leaders with real facts about addiction and also how to help, which can include prayer, right? Mm-hmm. And which can include faith-based practices, but sometimes faith-based practices are just not enough. Yeah. And people need outside help. But faith-based communities can be so tight-knit that those outside resources oftentimes are just not known. And so I think educating our faith-based leaders is so important.
Well, I'm going to put in a plug right now for our agency and the One Voice program, because that's exactly what One Voice is all about. One Voice brings together law enforcement and local clergy in our county, and just held their summit earlier this week talking about teen vaping. But also, as you say, that prayer is one means of support, but also just the community that's built. You know, families who may not have extended family in the area may have a church community. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so important.
Yeah. And it is grassroots, just like you talked about. So I would love to transition to talk about, you went from NCAD to this brand new foundation called the Ammon Foundation, that is a part of or funded by the Ammon Labs. Can you explain that relationship? But you are the director of that organization.
I am.
Is that your title? Executive director for the Ammon Foundation. And what, you started a little over a year ago? I can't remember.
A little over 2 years ago.
A little
now.
Over 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Time flies.
Time
but
flies.
It has become such a profound and powerful organization to share the hope of recovery and
Social advocacy, political advocacy. And in April, all of these countries converge mm-hmm. on Omaha.
Cool.
There's no room in Omaha to host us all. There's no room at the inn. We're riding in on donkeys and coming in on...
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordination.